All right, 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2. I need to find it. All right, let's pray one more time before we get started. Lord, clear our minds and help us focus on you now and give us strength and open up our hearts, open up our ears, help us listen what you have us to hear from you and what you have us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy we learned was about how to act in the church, how to conduct yourself in the church. If you don't know how to be in the church, look to 1 Timothy. That tells you, it's the theme of this verse, theme of that chapter, theme of the book. Now, 2 Timothy, what is it about? Probably the last book that Paul wrote. It's written by Paul. Probably the last book that he wrote. He's really mature when he's writing it. He's writing it to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 5. I would like to say this is the theme. Some say it's study to show yourself approved, but I think it's covered here. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And Paul is very passionate in this book, and he says, okay, Timothy, do this, do that. Don't forget about this, don't forget about that. And he's just rattling things off, and I love it. It's really good. This chapter 2 is really neat because it gives us some pictures of what we are to be. And there's seven pictures that he gives us of what we were like to be. It makes us easy because we can relate ourselves to those pictures. We can see it, we can learn from it, and it's a good teaching method. He uses it here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, this is the first thing of the seven. We're only going to cover three, possibly four today. So, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. A son, can we get the presentation up here? A son or a daughter, for the girls out there? A son or a daughter. Okay. Be strong in the grace. This gives us a picture. What is a son or a daughter? What is a son or a daughter? You are a son. I am a son, right. If we are born of a parent, if we are born of our parents, we are their son or daughter. Go ahead to the next one. I defined each one of these so we can learn what it's about. A boy or man, a girl or woman, as he or she is related to a parent. Related. We are in a relationship. We are born into a relationship with God. We are born into relationship with our earthly family, and then we are born, as we receive Jesus, we are born into a spiritual relationship. Here's an earthly relationship, our mom and dad, and we're their son or daughter. Earthly, physical relationship. Now we're in a spiritual, heavenly relationship, as it were. We read in the Bible that it says, John, you don't have to turn there, John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we believe on the name of Jesus and we receive him into our hearts, we are children of God. It's that simple. We are born again believers, as we like to say. We receive the adoption. We are like adopted into this spiritual or heavenly family, whereby we cry, Abba Father, or we cry, Daddy. We are able to call God, the God of the universe who created everything, Daddy. Okay, that's an intimate term. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I always wondered, you go to Grosse Pointe. Who's ever been to Grosse Pointe? Grosse Pointe, Grosse Pointe Woods, Grosse Pointe Farms. And you see all those big houses, and you see, like, the kids, and all those kids are so ugly. And I'm just jealous, no. You you see all the kids and they're like, what would it be like to be born into a rich family? You think that. I've thought that. Maybe you guys don't. But it's like, you, if you are born, the only way that you can be in that is if you were born into it. And that's what happens. We are heirs of all that God has. Just how they were born into a rich family, they are heirs of all that money. Now, spiritually, we are born into God's family, and we are heirs of all that God has. God is rich. God is eternal. He's powerful. This is exciting stuff. And so we can see how it's helping us learn. This is, we're a son. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We were not saved by grace. It was a gift of God. Now the same thing. As we live out our life, as we are in this position of a son or a daughter of the Most High God, the living and one only true God, we are sons or daughters. We cannot try and do it on our own, not try to live this life on our own. We need the Father's help. We need God's help. And so we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' grace, we need to live our life. And commit the things which you have heard to those faithful men who will be able to teach others also. As we live our lives, be looking for people that you can pass on your faith to. And this goes more for the older, but it can apply to the younger. If you have brothers or sisters or young people, even in the church or at your school, everyone's looking up to you guys. Everyone's looking up to you. And you can be an example. You can start to teach what you have learned to others. What really spoke to me in this is this word right here. Oh my goodness. I tell Josie, I tell her all these things. Okay. And she does not listen. And how I know this is I say, what did I just say? And she doesn't know. She wasn't listening. So how can she live it out? And how can she then, if she were to, apply it to others? First of all, the first thing we got to do is listen. Okay. Listen. We're in church all the time. You guys go to a Christian school, right? You hear it a lot. But keep those ears open and keep them fresh to what God is saying. God's word is always talking. It's always speaking. And it's keep listening. First, listen. And then commit it to others. What also spoke to me here is I've always had this perception of a discipleship relationship as this intimate relationship. And it has to be personal. It has to be in a closed setting, if you will. But this says, this really opened my eyes, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Paul was teaching Timothy in an open setting, and that was a good thing. And you can have that special intimate time with someone that you're teaching and really pour into them, but you also need to have it in front of plain sight, in front of everyone. Commit to faithful men. And I've said this before, we are looking, and God is looking, for those who are faithful, those who are consistent. And I always thought it would make more sense, you know, the people who are really hurting, that's the ones you want to pour into, right? The people who are really hurting, who don't necessarily always come to church, you know, you want to kind of reach out to those people and have them come more to church. No, the people that are here every week, week after week after week after week, pour into them. Last week I said nobody's here, and John said, and I hate when people say that, because I'm here, I'm a somebody. But John was, I'm here, I'm ready to learn. And that's so true. John's here week after week after week after week, and we want to pour into it to those that are here. So keep coming. If you're here, keep coming. It's my passionate speech. Okay. Next. So be a son. Next. Go ahead. The next one is a soldier. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I wish Derek were here, because I would want to interview him and say, what is the life of a soldier? I can say, oh, a soldier is this, a soldier is that. I don't really know. But he was there among soldiers. He was in Iraq. Derek was in Iraq. And he was there living among soldiers. and what is it like to be a soldier? I can theorize and read you a definition from a book, but I've never been around a soldier, a real soldier, and what it's like, and what I can't describe it to you. But what I can say, I had a really like elementary dictionary when I looked these out. So it's like the definitions are good, but they're lacking. Okay. A person in an army who fights for a cause. Well, that's a good one. Okay, a person in an army who fights for causes. Person who fights. A person who stands. A person who flees, we're going to learn in a minute. What is it like to be a soldier? If we could just think about it for 1 minute. What is it like to be a soldier? What do you think? You're away from your family. You're away from... You're in an unfamiliar land, unfamiliar territory. You're on guard. You have to be sober. You have to be vigilant. You have to be ready. You have to endure hardness, it says here. Paul tells it like it is. With his maturity came reality. And he says, you know, being a soldier of Jesus Christ, you're in a war. You're in a spiritual war. Paul wrote in Ephesians, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. It's a heavenly force. Satan is real. Demons are real. And we, as it's good versus evil. And we are on God's side. And we are to fight for the right, fight for the truth. Put on the whole armor of God, it tells us. The belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are ready with the gospel of peace. Shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, helmet of salvation, and praying always. Okay, just a quick review of that. But let's go on. Endure hardness. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Okay, so we're not to get caught up with the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yesterday, I was supposed to be studying for this, and I was trying to pray through, what do we have to do? What are we going to do with our family? And the kids were going crazy, and I'm like, okay, let's go to the mall, and then we'll go to the Christian bookstore. I know. We'll make it godly. We're going to go to the Christian bookstore. Okay. Well, the one Christian bookstore was closed in the one mall. And then we never made it to the other one because we got distracted. But anyway, it's ironic that God just sets you up for this and we choose. But it was like, I wanted to go to the world and we went to Partridge Creek, the nice mall. And not that there's anything against malls or shopping or anything like that, but it wasn't what we were supposed to do. Last night, and it was this love for the world, and it wasn't good. But it's so easy to get distracted, and so easy to fall into this. But if we continue to keep our eyes on Christ and love Him, then that helps. This is a great avenue to come to every Friday. When I was growing up, we had nothing, and right when it was time, I was like 12, 13 years old, just like you guys are, and a guy came to our church from Minnesota, Elson his name, I've mentioned him before, and he started a Friday night Bible study. Our church was really small, so we didn't have anything on Friday for the youth, but he started a Bible study, and it was awesome, and I would love going to that. I went week after week and just learned, and he poured into me, and I just received it, and it was awesome. Keep doing that. Start right now, and start to be diligent, not get entangled with the world. You know, there's a bunch of things going on, parties and everything, and shopping, and I was talking to my coworker, and he's like, we're going to Campus Martius, and we're going ice skating, and that's great and everything. And he's like, I just heard about this cool restaurant, and it's all fleeting. It's all, you know, we can enjoy those things, but it's not about that. We're in a war, and not to get entangled with the world, that we may please who enlist us as a soldier. God enlisted us, God chose us as a soldier, we've talked about a lot of things that please God. What pleases God? We're not going to go into all that right now. We're going to keep it simple right now. And one verse really stuck out to me. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if we stay out of our flesh, we stay in the Spirit, we can please God. And that's what we need to do to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, next. Verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. An athlete. I was trying to find, again, my clip art. I had like 10 clip arts to choose from. It was so horrible. I wanted to find like Karate Master for Caleb, but I could not. And yes, I know. Thank you for correcting me. Okay. Athlete, a person who is skilled at games, sports, or exercises in which one needs strength, skill, and speed. Okay, a soldier. We didn't even mention going to a soldier is so disciplined in how hard they work and train. Same thing here. It applies. They train. You practice, 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 right? You build strength. Same thing here as a believer. You practice drills in soccer. You dribble the ball. In baseball, you run and you catch fly balls and all this. The Olympics were the cool thing about. I love the Olympics, and they were going on way back when Paul wrote this, and they used to give crowns out, and that's why it says, you know, you're not. In the old version, it says you're not crowned. Oh, here it is. He is not crowned unless he competes. And they would give these wreath crowns out at the old-time Olympics. And now they give the medals. But those athletes train so hard and it's their life. If you've seen the documentaries that they do during the Olympics, they're like, and he gets up and he does 3 hours of swimming. And then he goes and eats a salad. And then he eats 10 eggs. And then he goes back to the pool and he swims some more. Then he goes back and eats a steak. And then he swims some more. You know, we are to train and to win, to run to win. It says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. You know, okay, what do you train all this and you get a gold medal. Okay, whip-de-doo-da-day. But this is the high calling of Christ. We are pressing toward for earthly treasures that we can cast at his feet, for crowns that will not fade away, and to please the Lord, as we read in the last verse. Lay aside every weight, Hebrews tells us. Have you ever, a guy at the church I grew up at had this track shoe. Have you ever seen a track shoe? Like a shoe that you wear for track? They're like, yeah, they have nails in them, but they're like 0.27 ounces. They are so light. They're like, am I even holding anything? Lay aside every weight. And when you're running, you don't want anything that's going to hinder you. Anything. Cast it all off. All of your sin that so easily ensnares us. And run with patience the race that's set before us. Run to win. Be competitive about it even. It says that when you do something good, it motivates your brother or sister in Christ to jealousy to do the same thing. If you're doing something good, it motivates them to do that same good thing. I forget the exact verbiage on that. You have to play by the rules. This is the other thing, and this is what's pointed out here. Strive lawfully. Strive by the rules for a good reward that does not fade away. We've been looking at all these. We've been cleaning out my mom's basement, and we have all these like little baseball little trophies and bowling trophies, and they're all faded and moldy, and it's just really sad because you can't breathe. But yeah, but this is stuff that does not fade away. The rewards in heaven do not fade away. Moth and rust cannot corrupt. Okay, but you have to play by the rules. What happens if you don't? You get thrown out of the game. Or it doesn't count. Or what?
Or get fouled.
Yes. Okay, finally, for tonight. There's seven in all, but we're covering only four here. Farmer, thank you. Farmer, thank you. The hardworking farmer must be first. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. It's kind of encouraging. Do you know, this is another one, it's kind of removed from us and where we live in the big city here. A farmer is probably the hardest working person you're ever going to find. Okay, when you're not cleaning up after the animals, you're going to pick the crops and you're going to prepare the soil and you're going to, who has a garden in their backyard? Well, kind of, I did, right? Small one. But it's a lot of work, and you got to water it and get up early and then weed it. And then. A hard-working farmer. It's a lot of work, the Christian life. You got to get up early, read your Bible, pray, press through this, fight for the right. 1 Corinthians 3:5-9, it says there's a lot of things involved. There's plowing. You got to plow the field, then sow. You got to sow the seeds, then you got to water it, and then there's harvesting. Now, we can do all that, but God gives the increase. God provides the fruit. The definition: a person owns or works on a farm. Okay, we knew that, but it's encouraging. If you are a farmer, you are the first to partake of the crops. I would tell Sarah, my wife, we would pick tomatoes from our backyard. And I said, well, this is like the freshest you could ever eat it. You know, this is right from our garden, right from the backyard. And then I would say, well, I guess we could go back there and you could eat it right back in the garden. And then I'm like, well, you could eat it right off the vine. She's like, stop, that's gross. Okay, you're getting way into this. And anyway, what the point is that you're the first to partake of the fruit, and you get to see the fruit, and it's precious, and it's good. But it's only God who can give the increase. But we can be diligent and plow and sow and water and harvest to keep working. There was, my calendar was cool. God was gracious, even despite my lack of studying. Today's calendar, it said, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And that's from 1 Timothy 6:11. Christians are soldiers, going back to a soldier, in a great spiritual conflict. We have powerful, clever enemies, and there are battles to be fought and dangers to be braved. In some cases, we should stand firm. And that's what Ephesians tells us. It says, stand, withstand, stand. Says it three times. Stand, withstand, stand. Stand firm. You're just there. You're not making any movement. But in others, we need to flee. And I never got this before. Flee covetousness and the love of money. Flee youthful desires. 2 Timothy 2:22. We're going to talk about that later in this chapter. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. 1 Timothy 2:23. Flee fornication and idolatry. Sexual desires. Take drastic measures to get away. There's safety in separation. So you can stand is one thing of a soldier. You can flee, get out of there. If it's too much, if there's too much temptation, just get out. And we know Joseph, he flew. He was a young man, and there was temptation there with a woman, and he just got out. He ran. That's what we got to do sometimes as a soldier. And then right here it says, and this is what I want to leave with, is you're in a war, you're in a battle. Where is it? You're engaged in warfare. So there's these three things. There's to stand, there's to flee, but there's also to attack and to go forward and to fight for the right. And you know, God's been telling me, hey, if you don't fight for your family, who's going to do it? No one else is going to do it. You got to do it, and you got to step up, and you got to go out there and fight for the right and proceed, press forward. So, we have these four pictures of who God is calling us to be. There's three more. Let me give you a... Go ahead and do the next one. Student, a vessel, and a servant. Okay, so there's three more we're going to talk about. It gets really good, but it helps us understand who God's called us to be. So, Lord, thank you for tonight, and thank you for these pictures that help us understand who you called us to be. And only by your grace can we do this, and help us be strong in that grace, not to try and strive in our flesh, because that just does not please you, Lord, but to strive in the Spirit, and anoint us that we can go forward and be who all that you called us to be, and not to lack anything, any good thing, and to provoke each other to good works, Lord, as we do your will. Thank you for speaking to us and for everyone that's here, and give us a good night. In you, in Jesus' name, amen.